Welcome to the Steelers Battle League podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Tuesday evening?
James, I'm fantastic. I'm repping the other podcast I'm a part of, not gonna lie. I'm repping it right now. Aradan Film Festival. It's a good time. We watch movies and rank them. Anyways, we don't watch movies live. Let's clarify. We watch them during the week, and then we talk about them on Monday and Sunday nights, depending on the week. Anyways, James, I'm great. We're here to talk Steelers. How are you?
Yes. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, man. All over the place with work, but health is good, and the puppies are getting bigger every day. With any kind of luck, you'll hear them in the background at some point
with
in time
any
today.
Any kind of luck.
Hopefully not too much during it, but we'll see. If you do hear them, it's because they're almost 4 weeks old now. They're starting to get a little bit noisy.
I was almost noisy like at 4 weeks. Get. Yeah.
Yeah. We get when we're talking about that Steelers schedule. Noisy.
Yeah, especially around week four, play the Jets. get it. Anyways,
another Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown.
we are here to talk about Steelers news. Obviously, no Steelers by the Lake news today. Other than we want you guys to continue to reach out to us, let us know things you want to hear. Let us know if you want to, maybe even give us new ideas for the podcast. If there's something specifically you want to hear, maybe there's something you want us to do, like a segment that like every week that's specific to this or specific to that. Let us know. We'd be happy to hear your input. Just kind of hear from you guys.
Yeah.
It's fun for us. So
yeah, we're gonna do a little three-part series. So wrapping up today's show, we're gonna talk about the Cincinnati Bengals draft class, how we feel that was and how that will impact their team. Straight poop. Anyway, but into some Steelers news first. So last week we told you about three guys the Steelers waived in order to make room for some of these undrafted rookies that Pittsburgh brought onto the team. The number one oddball thing from it is cornerback Isaiah Johnson. Cornerback Isaiah Johnson will be on the injured reserve list. Apparently he must have been injured during some of those offseason workouts, so you can't just straight up cut him. What they did is put him on the injured reserve list. This allows him to heal up during it, and there could be a injury settlement that happens. Keep that in mind. That's something we might be talking about again later on in the show.
Absolutely. With that being said, for those of you who aren't watching the YouTube video, you know that you heard something. It was weird. It sounded like a pop can. That was James opening the non-affiliated Red Bull can that he has to open on every podcast episode. and we finally figured out a way for him to make sure that you could hear the pop.
On the video, they're always like, yeah, we see that. And in the audio, they have no clue.
No clue. You heard it that time.
The microphone filters it out. I decided that maybe, just maybe, if I talk and crack it at the same time, you might be able to hear it. And I think I was able to trick the microphone. So,
yep, I heard it today.
Fun times.
I heard it today. All right, let's talk about this 2022 NFL schedule. Steelers specific.
Yes. First thing. Only four preseason games instead of three, which means the every single season fourth game opponent of the Carolina Panthers is gone. We don't get the Carolina Panthers in the preseason anymore, which is kind of a boo moment for me. I enjoy that.
Wait, you said only four games? You meant only three games, correct?
Only three, yes. Okay. There's only three instead of the four. Yeah,
except for whoever has the Hall of Fame game.
Correct. Whoever has that will have a fourth game.
Yep.
Kind of a bummer if you ask me. I like having the fourth game. I like always seeing the Carolina Panthers as the fourth preseason opponent. Now it'll be the Detroit Lions instead. So,
I guess that's probably good. Yeah. I mean, we tied them last year, so it's not great.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little bit different in the preseason with the depth that we have at certain positions.
I hope so.
Especially since Mr. Rudolph will probably be the third string quarterback for that game instead of the first string quarterback.
Great news. Everybody clap.
Interesting, though, if this is truly a three-way competition, Cody, that might mean that each one of those guys gets one game to start in the preseason.
I mean, realistically, I would be okay with that, and here's why. I would hate for Kenny Pickett to start the first game and not completely have the playbook and everything under his belt yet. Let him start week two or week three. Let Mason go out there week one. Send Trubisky out there week two. Whatever. He's the vet. He's the vet of the group, technically. Kind of. And then week three, let Kenny Pickett go to work. And that way, especially if he has a good game, you can take that right into week one at the Bengals.
Yeah. Which they're going to need. Like, let's be honest, Cincinnati really beat up on Pittsburgh last year. So Pittsburgh needs to play a lot better than they did in previous seasons against Cincinnati to have a chance. I think one of the things that really stuck out to me last year is their struggles with covering Jamar Chase. So I think we're looking for Akilah Witherspoon to step up in the matchup against Jamar Chase. He's our most athletic corner with 4.45 40 speed. That's our fastest guy. So I think he'll get that matchup if he's able to contain him a little bit better than what we saw last year. Then those games probably be a little bit closer, maybe even land in the favor of Pittsburgh this year.
Yep.
But that's a tough way to start off the season on the road against Cincinnati, who whooped you both times you played them last year. So
yep.
I'm not going to say that I'm not looking forward to the week one, but it'll definitely be a challenge and a good measuring stick for the season on where we've developed versus last year, I think.
Yeah, let's run down this list real quick. And then if you have any key points you want to bring up about any games, you can bring those up. So week two is home against the Patriots. Our home opener will be a 1 o'clock game.
Home opener.
Hosting the New England Patriots with Mac Jones and Bill Belichick. Week three is going to be September 22nd at the Browns. This is a Thursday night game.
That's the oddball, right? This is the new thing. So the NFL started a new contract with Amazon. It's a $100 billion contract, so it's not going anywhere. But the Thursday night games will exclusively be aired on Amazon Prime. It sounds as though there will be some on local aired broadcasts.
Oh yeah, over the air broadcast.
And over the air broadcast antenna style. So hopefully that's something that will be made available through the NFL ticket. It's kind of unclear as to how that's going to play out. So we'll find out as the season goes on. You may have to be close enough to Pittsburgh to get it over an antenna in order to get it if you're not a Prime member. So we'll see how that plays out. That might be a go to your local bar and watch it kind of thing, because I'm sure they'll still figure out ways.
Yep.
Week
four is going to be another home game versus the Jets, 1 o'clock game. Week five, excuse me, October 9th will be at the Bills at 1 o'clock.
Another big measuring stick, right?
That's very tough big, team. Very big. And next week is as well. Week six is going to be a home against the Buccaneers, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, all those guys coming into Pittsburgh. Week seven, we finish off the AFC East by week seven at the Dolphins.
We play them all by then?
All by then, which is a Sunday night game. So that's our second primetime game. Week eight is at the Eagles for a 1 o'clock game. And then bye week's week nine. That is phenomenal. You want to talk about the Eagles real quick?
I do want to talk about the Eagles game, because the Steelers have a habit of losing in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the guys that the Eagles grabbed in the draft class, like Jordan Davis, were people that we were talking about a lot. Yep. So this is an important one to see. Can Pittsburgh handle powerhouse defensive tackles? This might be the strongest, toughest defensive tackle they're going to play against all year in Jordan Davis. So can Mason Cole handle him? Can Kevin Dotson handle him? Can James Daniels, the new star guard / center that we got from the Bears, can he handle him? If these guys can handle him one-on-one, this is great. If by then we see Kendrick Green on the field, can Kendrick Green handle Jordan Davis? If he's able to handle Jordan Davis, then he's figured out technique-wise how to anchor against these big guys.
Yep.
It's going to be a great measuring stick. I want to see how that front interior handles Jordan Davis.
Yep, I agree completely. So then after that, obviously week nine is the bye week, right there in the middle of the year.
That's the best news from the whole schedule, is that week nine's the bye, man. I love that.
It was fantastic. Week 10 is home versus the Saints. Week 11 is home versus the Bengals, where we host the Bengals on a Sunday night game as well. And then you have week 12, which is at the Colts for another, I believe this is a Monday night game or Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember exactly. I think it's a Monday night game.
I think you're right, because it's 8 days after the game against the Bengals.
So then we have a short week leading into the game at the Falcons for week 13. Week 14 is home versus the Ravens. And then we finish off the NFC South by week 15, which is at the Panthers for a 1 o'clock game. And then the last three games are home versus the Raiders, who Pittsburgh tends to lose to for no dang reason. And week 17 at the Ravens. And then the last week, week 18, will be a home game against the Browns with a to be determined time and date and all that stuff. So potential playoff things might lead to that being a primetime game as well.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that we don't play the Ravens for the first time until week 14 and then play them again week 17.
Yep.
So once again, got a stretch of division rivals at the end of the season. I feel like we had that last year as well, which I don't like seeing the Ravens that close to each other 3 weeks apart playing them.
Hey, so it could be worse. It could be worse. The Washington Redskins play the New York Giants in back-to-back games this year.
That's dumb.
They have a bye week in between. That's it.
That's so dumb. Why would you do that?
That's the first time I think they said in like, I don't know, 20, 30 years that that happened or something like that. Maybe even more. But
man, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. I think it's going to be cool to see how the season goes. You know, obviously there's a lot of up in the air. We don't know how Pittsburgh is going to look. Is Kenny Pickett going to get the starting job? Is Mitchell Trubisky? Are they going to be running on all four cylinders? Is it going to look like 2.5 with a misfire going on? It's tough to say, you know, if could be that week 18 getting into the playoffs is on the line, and now you're coming off a game against the Ravens, which could very easily play into how you get into the playoffs or not.
Yep.
And then against the Browns, and if Deshaun Watson doesn't get a season-long suspension, then he will be available for that game.
Yep.
So that could be against Deshaun Watson and the Browns with the season on the line, getting into the playoffs on the line. And it used to be that Pittsburgh played against Cleveland week 18. Well, it was week 17 then, but the final week of the season on a regular basis. And then it started turning out that the game didn't matter. The Browns were already eliminated all the time. The Steelers would just play their backups against them, and it made for bad football.
Yep.
So they stopped doing it for a while because of the Browns not being a competitive team anymore.
They did it with the Ravens, I think, once or twice, maybe, if I remember recently. But,
yep, you got it. Yeah, started being the Ravens instead because they knew it would be a competitive team.
Yeah, and then so we were going to wait to share this at the end, but it kind of makes sense now with you talking about Deshaun Watson. NFL executives did meet with Deshaun Watson in Texas yesterday, I believe, and the Browns suspect that he will be suspended for multiple games, which I think anyone at this point should suspect. I'm going to be shocked if he plays at all this year, but a lot of people are thinking, you know, first half of the season, James is like maybe first 8 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. I think half the season is probably likely. I won't be surprised if it's more. I will be surprised if it's four games or less.
Yeah.
I feel like he should be punished pretty severely, for his conduct off the field.
Again,
It's not a guilty or not guilty thing. It's a conduct off the field. If you have that many accusations, you probably weren't being a choir boy.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. So with that being said, we're going to go into Pittsburgh signing a free agent, not undrafted, free agent offensive tackle by the name of Trent Scott from Carolina. Now, James has a really interesting fact about this guy that is, I think, really cool and exciting.
Yeah, and also you were correct when you called him an undrafted free agent. He wasn't drafted.
Okay, so, got it.
So you were right on that. But also, this guy's been in the league for 4 years now. He's got good size. I want to say it was like 6'5 or 6'6, 320, 34.5-inch long arms, which is great for a tackle. You're looking for that kind of length. The new offensive line coach, Pat Meyer, was actually his offensive line coach all 4 years of his career in the NFL so far. So with the Rams his first 2 years, with the Panthers his last 2 years. Obviously, our offensive line coach really likes this guy, or he wouldn't bother bringing him in. So I think this is an important signing, not because I think he's going to get the starting job over Dan Moore or over Chukwuma Okorafor. I don't think that's the case. But I do believe that he could push Joe Haig for the number three offensive tackle position. He's played both sides. He's played some interior as well. So he's got great versatility, which is what you hope to see in a guy like this. But to me, it's just there's some potential if this guy could possibly be our third best offensive tackle right now. And I like the idea of being able to upgrade that room. I was hoping to see it in the NFL draft. They weren't able to do so. They were prioritizing other positions. And then by the end of the draft just said, nope, offensive tackle that's left is not going to be any better. So I like this. I think it's a really important signing. If you end up with somebody going down, I think it's a higher quality tackle than Joe Haig. And that's great. So now both the offensive tackles, the number three and four, whether you call Haig three or Haig four, whatever, take your pick. Both of them have experience at guard. And we saw Haig play a little bit of guard last year when almost everybody and their mother got injured that ever played left guard before.
Yep.
So he got to play a little bit on that left side as well. And I just like it. I like the versatility. I like the size and length. And I like that our offensive line coach likes him enough to bring him in.
Absolutely. With that being said, they also signed some of their draft picks. Four of the six.
Seven.
Seven.
One, two, three, seven. Four, five, six, seven. You are correct. Trust me. You are correct, sir. I'm happy that you can do math. Though.
Anyways, they signed George Pickens, the wide receiver. They signed Connor Hayward. Shocking. Woo-hoo. Hayward brother. They signed Mark Robinson. And they signed Chris Oladukun. Who's the quarterback?
It sounds like
from
he should be in a
round.
Video game.
He should.
Oladukun!
Like Power Rangers?
Like Street Fighter?
Know. Street Fighter? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember that?
I remember it. I know it very clearly, but I don't remember how much I played it. Let's clarify.
I was more of a Tekken. Hadouken! That was like his thing, man. Oh, that was like his move.
Oladukun! Yeah, so, that's like
Oladukun! Yeah.
Welcome to this episode of anime. Okay, anyways.
It's my childhood coming back at me.
That's
what am I
fair. James, we signed some tryout players too.
Yeah, and that was during rookie minicamp that you saw this. So all the tryout guys were there. There were 51 players in attendance, whether they were tryout guys, undrafted free agents, the actual rookie class, all of them were there. And four guys impressed enough to actually get contracts that were tryout guys. I want to say there was something like 21 or 25 tryout guys. It was a pretty good sized number. Four of them did end up getting an opportunity to make the team. They'll be on the 90-man roster now. Started off with cornerback Carlins Platel. He's a nickel slot guy. So look for him to compete in the nickel position. Not a super fast dude. I want to say he's like a 4.6 40. So not one of those outside kind of guys, but has a little bit of resume through college. Defensive lineman, Trayvon Mason. He's a 6'5", 290-pound defensive lineman out of Arizona, I think, or Arizona State. So a decent-sized school. Big-sized guy, decent length to him. It's exactly what Pittsburgh looks for in their 3-4 defensive ends. Kicker Tyler Snead, one of the most accurate kickers from college football last season. That was wide receiver Tyler Snead.
I got really confused. And
the kicker is Nick Scuba. He was the one that was one of the most accurate ones in college ball. But that did mean that Pittsburgh had to make some room for him. Cody, what did it mean on our guys that were on the roster?
Well, they waived my boy Rico Bussey.
So that's a sin.
That is. They should be in trouble for that one. So Rico Bussey is no longer on the team. They waived him. They also waived kicker Sam Sloman. You heard us talk about him a lot last year. On and off the practice squad, protected squad, all the things. All the things he was back and forth from. Outside linebacker John Simon, they also had to waive. And then they also waived / put on injured reserve defensive back Bryce Watts. So there could be potential injury come back from that, depending all this stuff. Who knows? Maybe he got hurt
during the mini camp.
During the
mini
camp or whatever, and that's why they signed Carlins Platel. So who knows?
Yep, and Bryce Watts was one of the undrafted guys that was signed right after the NFL draft. So unfortunately for him, didn't get much of a chance out there, but at least there's the possibility, you know, he clears the injury, comes back, and maybe they give him a shot to continue and And if one of the other guys does not impress or has a bad camp, you remove him and bring in Bryce Watts back and let him compete and see what happens. So absolutely, we'll see. We probably won't find out how bad the injury is unless it's settled. And if it goes all season long, then you know it was a bad injury. So
fair enough.
For his sake, you hope that's not the case. But at least he'll be paid if he's injured. So
absolutely. So now it's time to move on.
It is.
And look at this Bengals draft class. So we're not going to go too far in depth here. We're not trying to do like the breakdown like we did with the Pittsburgh Steelers draft. We just kind of want to bring up these guys, talk about them briefly. What does that mean for the future of their team at that position, as well as are we worried about this player, basically? So round one, pick number 31, because that's the first loser's pick, and that's what the Bengals were.
Get him, Cody.
Daxton Hill, safety out of Michigan. This guy looks like he weighs 200 pounds soaking wet.
192 soaking wet.
Anyways, tall, or not super tall, excuse me, but lean, lengthy, quick fast safety, dude. Very fast. So quick
fast
safety.
Fast dude, ball skills, can play some slot defense too, yep. So he might play some nickel this year. Yeah, he was one of those guys that if Pittsburgh was looking for a free safety, I would have been interested in him, but they weren't looking for a free safety, obviously, with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Also worth noting, we talked previously when George Pickens was drafted, that there's a highlight from him shoving a defensive player to the ground that was trying to cover him one-on-one. That was first-round pick Daxton Hill. So he has a habit of bullying, this young man, and I hope they get a chance to go against each other because I think it'll go well for George Pickens personally.
I agree. I agree completely.
So skill levels there, he's a little undersized, but he's fast.
Yeah. Their second round pick at the 60th overall pick was Cam Taylor-Britt, cornerback out of Nebraska, who I actually mocked in one of our mock drafts that we did. And the Bengals traded up to get him. So that was impressive. He's a lengthy corner. He can help on the outside right away, just like Hill. Hill's going to probably be instant impact, whether it be the slot or coming in on a certain dime package or whatever. But he's very fast, very versatile, and probably could easily be starting this year for them. I think their cornerback room isn't super deep, but he could be second string on the field right away. So,
yeah, you got to assume that he's an upgrade over Eli Apple right out of the gate.
Oh, absolutely.
So
Eli Apple was a meme. Corner.
Yeah, Eli Apple just got destroyed in the Super Bowl. Poor guy was picked on left and right. And honestly, that's why he didn't last with the New York Giants. They would have given him a big contract and extended him if they thought he was all that good.
Yeah,
they did not do so. They let him go after his rookie deal. He was the same draft class as Artie Burns. So, yeah, not like we missed out by not getting Eli Apple in that class. But this is just another sign that the Bengals were not confident in their secondary. They shouldn't have been confident in their secondary because it wasn't that great. But also it's worth noting that both starting safeties for the Bengals, their contracts are up at the end of the year, both Von Bell and Jesse Bates III. So signs are pointing in the direction that they may not be retaining one or both of their starting safeties after the season's up, which could be devastating for Cincinnati, which would kind of be good for us. So I don't mind that.
Yeah, absolutely. Next guy on the list is a defensive tackle, Zachary Carter, from Florida. Another defensive player, three defensive players taken in their first three picks. Impressive, concerning, probably not. at this point, they still haven't addressed their offensive line, which didn't play very well in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Now they did make some acquisitions in
the
free agency.
They did.
So that will help their offensive line. But this defensive tackle probably just going to be rotational his first year. We'll see if he makes any splash down the road.
Yeah.
Fourth round, they did draft a former tackle who looks to appear to be converting to guard in Cordell Volson out of North Dakota State. So we'll see. I don't know. Usually those small-time colleges, it's a little tougher transition for those guys.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that the Bengals did not prioritize the offensive line before the fourth round again. I think last year they didn't take one until the sixth round. So, I mean, that's great in my book. Go ahead and keep on letting Joe Burrow get beat up. He ain't going to last. But to their defense, I guess at least they did address it in free agency. So I wouldn't really expect Volson to move the needle much. Maybe he competes for a starting job. I kind of doubt it. So that really doesn't make a big change as far as their future plans or how you should be worried about the team, honestly.
Yeah.
Fifth round, safety Tyson Anderson. This would be the reason why some people think maybe they're not bringing back either one of their starting safeties. So big guy. What would you say? 6'2", 209, Cody?
6'2", 209.
6'2", 209. Good size.
6'2", 209, 33-inch long arms, 4.36, 40-yard dash, 35.5-inch vert jump. Didn't do the bench press, but impressive speed for another safety for them. And I saw an article earlier. I forgot to mention it. The Bengals actually had him ranked at a third round draft pick. So for them picking him up,
so they were real excited.
Yeah, I'm sure they were very excited about him. So I'm actually more curious about him than I am Hill. Not gonna lie. When you have a guy ranked,
size wise, you would say that's probably a little bit more concerning of a player. No doubt about that. He might even be somebody they try to match up on tight ends. Yep. I kind of hope so. I think that's
what he did. You think Freiermuth going to get him?
Yeah, I think Freiermuth would stiff arm him to ground pretty easily. And then that brings us to their last pick, which was in the seventh round, a outside linebacker, defensive end, whatever you want to call him, Jeffrey Gunter out of Coastal Carolina. If the name sounds familiar, that's because I mock draft him to the Steelers in my seventh round. It's a guy with some pass rush capability, not an elite guy by any means. Seventh round picks oftentimes don't even make the team, so we'll see how that factors in for him. But clearly in this draft, you see that they were very concerned about their defense because all the picks but one were on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
And they're clearly worried about their secondary. So we'll see if that was enough for them to improve their secondary or not, slowing down teams like Buffalo in Kansas City, that honestly, the AFC, the top teams in the AFC throw the ball real well.
Yeah.
So if you're not working on your passing game, then you're probably not going to get to or very far into playoffs.
Yep.
So if you don't have a good passing game, you better at least have a good secondary to try and slow them down and stop them. That seems the way the Bengals focused, and Pittsburgh went the other way, right?
Yeah.
We went quarterback and receivers. The year before, we got a starting tight end and a running back. So all the skill positions we covered in a matter of 2 years.
That we did, and we're still working on them to this day. So we'll see what happens with that. But again, that's going to round up this episode. We went over everything. If you guys have anything that you guys want to share with us or on social media, feel free to tag us in anything you see. We'll give our input on whatever you post or tag us in. And don't be afraid to reach out. We'd love to hear from you guys and get your feedback on the show, on things that you maybe want us to talk about on the show, maybe a segment like I talked about earlier. But again, thank you guys so much for listening or watching on YouTube. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.